Yes. Now, first of all, I wanted to ask you, when were you working at the university?
From January 1923. That's a long time ago.
Until?
July 1955.
Really? Yeah,
isn't that... Yes. Then I went back, you see, and worked with Mr. Lanning in the Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
I did some library work there. Of course, it had nothing whatever to do with the old, with the big library. It was the school library. They were making a, getting a model school library. And I was doing some of the, well, just sketchy sort of cataloguing of it, you see. Which is quite interesting. But what you're interested in is the beginnings, aren't you?
Yes. Tell me, you came as Mr. Reddington's secretary?
Yes. And I used to do the cataloguing, you know.
Yes.
Miss Jeppard was the cataloguer. Miss Woodward was the reference librarian. And a man by the name of Mr. Hoyes, who was quite a scholar. He used to do a lot of the middle work, like we had accessioning in those days, and he would do the accessioning and things like that, and pasting and things, you know, pasting the what do you call them?
Well,
yeah.
It's quite
comfortable
now.
So that was the staff as I knew it, and I don't think. They'd ever had a smaller start than that. You see, this was right in the quite early days. And then in 1925, they moved out to Point Grey.
So you were actually working...
Before?
In the...
Library.
What was it?
Hospital building.
Some yes.
I think they were rented from the hospital.
Yes.
Shacks. They were shacks. Although the part of the library that I was in was not a shack. But a whole lot of the other places round about, you know, the offices and things like that, they were shacks only. And then we moved out in September, I think it was 1925, out to Point Grey. And, well, we just felt like a few peas rattling around in a great big, you know what. It was so big after this other little place that we had, you know. And now, of course, it's been added to and wings built on. They're all in this. The course of, well, it's quite a lot of this. You see, in 30 years, 40 years,
yeah.
Over 45 years now.
Yeah.
When I go up, I don't hardly know my way about.
No.
I don't. I don't know where anything is hardly. It's altered so. But, and of course, during those years, we had ups and downs. The appropriation for the library, as compared with what it is now, is just like peanuts, really, you know, very small. But you know, they really did splendid work with it. Mr. Riddington was very good at that. You know, of course, he didn't parcel out the money. It was done over at the president's office, or one of the offices, I really don't know, but the every department had their own appropriation, you see. And then after a while, I used to take charge of the appropriations, how much they had, how much they'd spent, what they had left. And then sometimes they'd want to know what books were in that. Quite a lot of work with the members of the faculty, you see, in that way. Then Mrs. Lanning. There were several people in front of Mrs. Lanning, but I think she came at a quite critical time. And she was Mr. Riddington's secretary, and I did the bookwork. which I liked. But we went through, I remember, the Depression. Well, I think we were at the lowest end. But just at that moment, $15,000. Now that sounds quite a small amount, but in those days, you know, $15,000 was a lot of money. And it came from the Carnegie Foundation of New York, I think, to be spent over 3 years, you see, $5,000 a year. It happened that the pound in Britain was very low. Mr. Riddington sent some of this money over to Britain, you see, so that by the time we had spent our $5,000, it had turned into about $6,000 or $7,000, you see, because of the rate of exchange. And over the 3 years, I do remember this, at the third year, you see, the American dollar was low too. At the third year, our $5,000 of American funds was not even worth $5,000 in the our funds, you see. There'd been all that difference in the rates of exchange in 3 years, 2 years really, because this was the beginning of the third year. However, it did save the library, I think, you know, because we had very, very little money. And then, of course, Mr. Riddington got very busy. He was a great one for writing letters and asking. He didn't mind asking anybody for anything. He used to write around to these big corporations. I think he was quite responsible for a lot of these. In fact, that possibly had something a great deal to do with the 15,000 that we got. And he would write to all sorts of people, and he really made quite a good job of it, because he started what he called the Friends of the Library. And he bought some wonderful volumes. There were sets, you know, Audubon for one, the set of birds, you know, which was very valuable. And these, I think, you'll find in the front of them, it's got donated by Friends of the Library or something of the kind. And also we got from the Council of Siam, we got a set of books, which is the history of Siam, which I don't think, up to the time I was speaking, that hardly anyone has been able to read. But it was a very valuable set, you know, and I don't think very many libraries have it. And this, of course, is another, I don't know how it came about, but this is the man that gave it to us. And I think there are lots more which I have forgotten. You know. I think Mrs. Lanning would have been a much better person to have told you about these, because she was doing this work when I was doing the sort of booking part of it, you know, not the...
Tell me a little bit about the library at that time. As you perhaps know, the essay I'm doing is on the special collections and how we acquired some of the rare books and how we moved from the older single acquisitions into a division.
Well, of course, such a lot of this has been done since, I don't forget, it's all those years since I was there. But I do remember this, that during the war, they were quite agitated about these valuable books being left on the shelves, you know, because we didn't know if at any time we might have some evidence of the war, you know, very near at hand. And they were all put into the library safe. Mm-hmm. It was crowded, you see. I think someone had got it. I think Mr. Lanning knew exactly what was there. But, you know, to find them, they were stuffed, really, as many as could, probably, I don't mean thrown in, but I mean, you know, there was no room left for any more hardly. All these valuable books. And of course, actually, I don't think they were in any danger. But they might have been, you see. And if they'd been destroyed, we probably would never have got them back again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's awfully difficult for me to remember. You know, and I was in charge of the safe, you know, the
Oh, were you?
I had the key, that's all. But you know, if anyone wanted to go to the safe, I used to, no one knew the, I don't think anyone knew the combination, except possibly Mr. Whittington and myself. I don't think so. Miss Jeffert might have known. Now she is one, but of course she's still poor, so, but she is one that knows a great deal about the library, because she did all the cataloguing.
Yes, she did it all, didn't she? Right from beginning till...
She had a marvellous memory, just like mine. I haven't any memory at all. I'm not giving you a very good account of it, because I've really, most of the things I've forgotten, because you see, my work of latter years was the booking, you see. I was a sort of an accountant, rather than doing the, as we used to do the cards, you know.
The cataloguing.
Yes. Miss Jeffert used to prepare them and bring them into us, and then we used to type them, you see. And these were ready to be put into the catalogue.
Right. Tell me, one thing I've got a little confused about is the layout. I know where things were on the ground floor as you walk in, but where, when people refer to the vault, I know what they mean, and when they refer to the room that the Howie Reed was kept in later on, I know what they mean. But what do they mean when they talk about the cage? I wasn't any too sure. I wondered if perhaps it was something to do with the circulation desk, a special area.
I was trying to think where the cage was myself. I can't remember.
Perhaps Miss Lanning might, if I asked her. She probably would. When you were, did you find, what kind of a man was Mr. Whittington?
Well, he was a man, I would say that he was an excellent man at getting things out of other people. He had no compunction about writing letters and asking, and really he got some very good rewards from it too.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think. Oh, I'll tell you what we also had. We also had from the Carnegie Corporation the most wonderful music records.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what they've done with them now, but I remember when they came. They came and with a beautiful instrument as well. And at that time, the staff wasn't very big, and Mr. Lanning, who had charge of it, Mr. Roland Lanning, we used to have, after hours, used to go in one of the rooms. I think it was the old, at that time, I think it was the faculty room, it was the front room next to the door, and have an evening concert. Also, very nice things like that. We used to stay for the evening, you see, and then see that the library was locked up and all the rest of it. This is in the summer. But this was something. I don't know what they've got now, whether they've still got any part of that library, or whether they've added to it. I think they did add quite a number to it, but I don't know where the instrument is. It's probably worn out.
They have the Wilson.
You see,
beautiful music.
Yes, I'm sure you know. You see, you know far more about it. It's all those years, and such a tremendous change has taken place since I left. You see, I've gone on to the back blocks of it. You know,
that's exactly what I'm interested in finding out about. And Mr. Whittington, was he an easy man to work for?
Yes, he was on the whole. Yes, he was. He had his days like everybody else does. But he was very keen on getting a good library. He didn't mind asking people for things, and consequently he got a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think he wrote a good letter, you see, and in that way he got results. I do think that he was a great deal responsible for the Carnegie money, you know, and in those days it was really worth something because we were very poor. But now, you see, the money is coming in, $3 million from Mr.
McMillan.
H.R. McMillan, yes.
Incredible amount of
isn't
money.
Isn't it? But you know, when you come to think of it, it's not only ordering the books, but it's the cataloguing and the processing to get them ready for the library, you see. This is something. Because I think they had to increase the staff quite a lot. You see, the ordinary staff couldn't get by with all that. Besides all the other monies that are coming in now, you know, goodness knows what they get now. It must be hundreds of thousands.
Well, I think they've certainly got a big collection now.
And I really got a very good library.
Well, it's based on it's on very good foundation.
Yes.
It's notably good in the early days.
Is it weak in some sections? I suppose it's bound to be.
Not. I think now it's beginning to show a great deal of strength.
Is it
right across? But the tremendous thing is that it started so well, and that there was so
the
much.
The foundation was good.
Yes. No junk in the library.
No.
You know, many libraries who have twice the number of books have twice the number of junk.
Yes. Now, who it was that started, that was responsible for the initial library, I don't know. I don't know who that was. But
Did Mr. Reddington choose all the books himself in the early days?
Oh, no. They were chosen. Every department had an appropriation. You see, and they used to have requisitions, and when they wanted, they went spending their money, they would send their requisitions in, you see, and the library would buy them. You see, all the money was, although we had the account of it in paper in the library, all the money business was done from the bursar's office, you see. We didn't handle any, we just had the accounts, and I used to pass them, you see, make out a list, once a month, I think this was in the old days. Yes, I think it was about a month. And send it over to the bursar's office, and that was there, you see.
That, of course, I should have remembered that the ordering was actually done through the faculty.
Yes, all through the faculty.
Forget that, because, of course, now it's back.
Yes, but don't forget, there was reference. That was library. And then we had a library fund, you see, which was an appropriation for the library. And then we had what they called annuals, you see, that was library, and continuations, you see,
serial,
that's right. And all that was ordered and paid for, but that was library appropriation, you see.
Mm-hmm.
The other appropriations actually belonged to the different departments,
mm-hmm.
and they ordered them until they'd spent all their money. And some of them spent it all, and some of them had a bit over, you know. But it was quite. When I think of it, it's not fresh in my mind, you know.
No, hardly would need to be. What was it like in 1923 when you moved out? You mentioned that it was very. You felt very lost. There was lots of.
Yes, from these little shacks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't tell you how small they were. I know at one time I had the closing of the library in the summer, you see. I used to close it every day at 4 o'clock. And I had to go round to see that there was nobody in, you see. You know, just imagine what it's like now. But I used to go up and down, you see. But there was one man who was always hide somewhere, you know. He was very clever. And once or twice I shut him in, you know. He had to get out of the window, I remember. But it simply wasn't my fault, because I'd go round and I'd call out to see. But he wouldn't answer. I think he wanted to sit there quietly and go on with it. But they told me I'd not believe anybody in the library. You know, I'm not supposed to do that. But I do remember. He was a thorn in my flesh.
Could people go in the stacks? Could anybody go in the stacks in the very early days, or were they always closed?
And it was so small. Yes, I think a lot of the students used to go in. Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say stacks, this is in, when we were at the old place, the stacks were practically one big room. And then upstairs they had the reference thing, the reference room. But that was all the books they had, you see.
In one big room?
Yeah, yes.
Were they used constantly?
Yes, they were.
That would have been pretty hard to
remember. When you come to think of what they've got now and what the other students, what they had to work with, well, it's utterly ridiculous, really, when you think of it.
Oh, yes, there's been a real explosion.
I can't, when I go into the library, I don't know where I am or what's happening. I'm lost entirely.
Where are you living now?
Well, this is where I used to live,
yes,
for years, you see, in Liverpool, right out to the university. I've been living for the last 2 or 3 years or more down in California. My sister goes to England every year for 6 months because she has money over there, which amount of money left. And she can't get it over in the States, you see. They won't let it out of England, so she goes over there to spend it. And when I go back from here, in about 3 or 4 days, she'll be starting on her journey for the seventh time to England for 6 months. And I, you see, I look after her house while she's gone. We have a big dog. I'm very sorry because I feel that I'm not telling you. Now, Mrs. Lanning, you know, she worked with Mr. Riddington so much more than I did in the later years. I think she would. Have you met her?
Yes, I know who she is.
You do?
And I shall be going to see her sometime, but I thought I wanted to be sure to catch you while you were here. You
well,
know,
I
do.
I would gladly tell you everything I know, but it's trying to. Well, I have got a very good memory. When you get old, as I am, I'm no chicken, I'm quite old, you can't remember.
Well, I think
if someone will start it, of course, if anyone starts anything, then my memory, it returns, you know. But it's very difficult digging it right out because it's been sort of, well, almost, I've forgotten it, you see.
Well, it's so long ago.
It is,
you
so
know,
long.
1923 is many a long year.
Is it too?
Really? It is quite a time. The, perhaps I could ask
$85.
You a few questions. I noticed that there was an older book collection, and you mentioned that.
Yes.
But I also noticed that there was in the books a discussion about the Indians, a set about Indians of North America. And I wonder if you remember when we acquired, not the date of when we acquired it, but what made Mr. Riddington go after this particular set and the Audubon set, made him decide to...
Well, because I think he had a strong feeling for books, and I think he's been justified, really, in some of the things that he's got. You see, because the Audubon, I think it's a, I don't know whether you can get that, but I think it's out of print now, probably will never be printed again.
Mm-hmm.
The Indians, you see, when Miss, what's her name, McGregor, she's Mrs. Lanning, came on, that was right out of my hands altogether, you see.
Mm-hmm.
She did that sort of work, and I did the booking part of it. Because I used to do a lot of this. In those days, they used to accession everything. Everything had a number,
yes,
you see. And in a way, I think it's quite a good idea, but of course, to do that when you've got hundreds and thousands of books coming in, I think it's possibly a waste of time now.
They have a shop list,
yes.
No, I suppose that's the best they can manage. And you did the accessioning?
I did accessioning, yes.
And
I also did the... Miss Jefford used to... We had the cards coming from the Library of Congress, as you know, and Miss Jefford used to get those ready, and sometimes, of course, we had to type them. And she used to get them ready, and Miss McGregor and I used to type them, you see.
That's quite a job.
Oh, there was never any lack of work in the library, ever.
No, I'm amazed at the number of people, the few numbers who kept that very large plant going. It's hard to believe.
I don't know whether... do you know Mrs. Forsyth?
Yes.
In the library?
Yes, I do.
Now, she's been there a good many years.
Has she?
Yes, she has. And, but of course, she's there now.
Yes.
So I would, if I were you, I would see her and see if she's got... if she can give you any... because she's... they are working with it, you know. And she might be able to give you some information.
Well, I think you're giving me more than you realize.
I think
it's amazing
so
when
so
you're...
so trivial.
Well, everybody... I gather from my reading that there's a great esprit de corps in the library.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
It comes through, you know, and even,
yes.
Even in the minutes.
I was very happy in the library, and I attribute that now to my good health, because I think if you don't like your work, if you're unhappy in your work, you can get from ulcers to anything. I don't know, I think it makes all the difference. And Mr. Hoyes, who was a great scholar, and he was consulted by so many of the faculty. He hadn't a very important job in the library, but nevertheless, he was what one would call a scholar. And he used to say to me sometimes, "Why don't you get out of here and get a place to pay you more money?" I only, for the first 7 years I was there, I earned $85. Now, really, when I started, I should have earned 75. But the woman that had left, she got 85, and Mr. Winnington said, "I'm not going to ask them to change it. I'm going to put you on her salary of 85, which was a concession, you see. And after 7 years, I got $5 increase, 90. Then, I used to do evening work too sometimes out of a desk, which I liked. Then I earned a little more like that. Then all of a sudden came the war, you know, and what was it? When did we have that? About 1930, wasn't it? You wouldn't remember, you wouldn't be born. When they had the slump in America, you know, the terrible time.
Yes.
And our salaries were dropped again. Well, I was back where I started. Well, I was very lucky. I was never out of work, you see. I was very fortunate. And I think in those days, Mr. Hoyes was put on half time, you see. And when things improved and they wanted him to come back, he said no, he couldn't because he liked half time so much. But he really was, he should really have been in the reference division of the library, because his fund of information is so big.
I find it a little mysterious when I read through the notes, and I'm so glad you mentioned him, because he seems to loom as a very important figure in the minds of in the memories of people.
Yes,
and
he was.
Yet he was, his position was quite...
It wasn't really good enough. I do really think that he should have been in the reference department. Because this is, I'm talking before Miss Smith came.
Yeah.
Because he had such a fund of information.
And
but
he was satisfied with the work, or did he?
I think he was. Well, I think there was. Taking this one out?
Mm-hmm.
This is all more
yes,
or less
okay.
Private. I think there was a sort of jealousy between Mr. R and Mr. Hoyt. No, they didn't get on. Those two did not get on very well.
Mr. Riddington and Mr. Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps he. Yeah, Mr. Hoyes is very popular, I
yes,
guess.
Yes, oh, very. And
with students, my uncle remembers him so well
yes.
as being the most important
yes.
person
yes, that's right.
in
yes.
the
yes.
library. It meant a great deal to him.
Yes.
He's taught at
the
he's
nice.
Stuff,
he's
I think.
Nice, though. He had a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was a character. Do you know,
isn't it? Barry, the author, he wrote a book.
And in it, there's a man called Lobb.
Yes.
Do you know it?
Yes,
you must do.
Yes, I do.
Well, Mr. Hoy has reminded me of Lobb. You know, I could always see, you know, Lobb used to jump on a, you know, jump up and would surprise people with his agility. I always just think, one of these days I know Mr. Hoy is going to jump right on the top of the desk. Or, you know, he was elfish. That type of man. That very, very charming, very charming. And a great favourite with that faculty. I think they liked Mr. Whittington too, you know, although he wasn't quite on the same. I don't think he mixed with the faculty as easily as Mr. Hoyes did. But I think Mr. Whittington, he did a wonderful job for the library because he did go after things. He went with the Carnegie Corporation and other big moneyed foundations and people like that, and got results too.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
I noticed this in the correspondence in the work.
I'll tell you what you must get hold of. The Library Committee, the minutes of the Library Committee.
Yes.
Now, can you get hold of those?
Yes, I have.
Have you had them? You'll find a lot of information there. Yes. Most of the things that happened were written down because Mr. Whittington was, you know, he used to go into detail quite
yes.
a lot.
Yes.
That, if you can spare the time to read the old minutes.
Yes, I've gone through a great deal.
Have you?
It's given me a marvelous picture.
Has it? Yes, I think that's where you get the best information.
It's quite impressive.
It's,
and the Senate reports, of course, the
library
Senate.
Yes. And if you could, sometimes you'll find headings, side headings, you know, so that you wouldn't have to read all the little intricate bits. You might pick out what you think would be useful for your...
I've noticed, and some of the papers, of course, are now very well indexed.
Yes.
It's a great help. When you're going through on the internet to have the indexes. Well, when the 30s came, I gathered that the staff was cut quite badly.
Yes, yes,
so you must have been
cut in more ways than one. They cut Mr. Hoy's down to, now that it was a Wednesday, 3 days. And he used to come to us there. Well, Saturday afternoon for me, because we used to work on Saturdays.
Yes.
Saturdays until 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday afternoon, and he had Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning off. You see, but this is in the hard times. It's very. I'm afraid I feel very inadequate.
Well,
in giving
I'm
you I know it. You see, I'm quite
really
sure.
I'm really interested because you've told me one or two things. Your point of view was partly the accounting thing, and you reminded me about how the accounts are kept, which I think are quite interesting and relevant to
yeah.
what I'm going to.
Because I don't know how they do it now.
Oh, immensely complicated. It's done by computer now, partly. You've got a great printout coming with all. I think it's 100 million. Oh. Ever so many accounts coming in.
Well, we used to do the accounts once a month.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
Yes, I can believe it. It must have been in a library. Accounts are always extremely complicated, and you must have really.
And you had to make quite sure that all the books were in, you see, before you paid it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it had to go over to the bursar's office.
Did you get many gifts?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, of course.
What sort of gifts?
Well, books of all kinds.
Yes.
All the gifts latterly, the gifts and exchanges, it's one department, you know, in the library
yes.
now.
Yes.
And when I was, when I came back from, I'd been to England, they wanted, you know, they had a job for me, you see, and what I was rather pleased to. And so I was out there, and I was doing gifts and exchanges. And this used to be one of the little jobs that I did, the gifts, you see, that would acknowledge them. And Mr. Riddington would sometimes write a special letter. And now I'm, what was I going to say?
You came back to do the gifts and exchanges? At the...
Yes, and now you see, gifts and exchanges is a department on its own.
Yes,
exactly. And the exchanges are quite a business. I rather like that part of it.
What sort of thing did you do with exchanges?
Well, you got in touch. You see, you're trying to get books, and you have books, extra books, that you can make lists of, and you send them round to different libraries, you see, and say, if any of these books are you would like them, if your request is in at a certain date and first, you'll get the opportunity, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we had to make long lists of all, as many books as possible, all in alphabetical order, you see, and then have them. How did we make copies of them with some machine or other, you see, and send them out all over. I used to send them to the libraries behind the Iron Curtain, and I got quite a lot of answers from these people. And I do remember writing to Russia, one of the libraries in Russia, and they wanted, one of the books they wanted was the story of the two little princesses, you know, princesses.
Yes. And the books that you acquired to exchange would be gifts that turned out to be duplicates, would they, or?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. But we used to, and then you see, besides sending these lists out, we used to get lists in, and if there were any things that we wanted, we had to write quickly, you see, in order to...
To them.
Yes, it was big business, you know, in a way. And to do it thoroughly, it was, you know, it needed someone to give their whole attention to it.
And that would be, as you say, you'd be, have to work very quickly to make sure you've got what you want.
It was a nice job, though. I used to like writing to the different libraries abroad.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, and hearing from them would be very interesting indeed.
But I do feel that if you could get her, now I don't know how you could get her with Mrs. Lang, because, of course, she lives over in Ladysmith.
Yes.
But she is alive. Do you know what I mean? She has a splendid memory. And she worked with Mr. Riddington on the books far later than I did, you see. My working with the books was years and years ago.
Well, that's what I'm interested in, just what you did.
I know.
Tell me a little bit about Fairview. I haven't met anybody who's worked
with
you.
Well, we've got someone living here, right here, Miss Grouche.
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, have you heard of Miss Grouche?
No.
Well, I think she was one of the earliest people. I think she was in the Department of Botany before it was actually attached to the university, but although it was, you know, government. And I think she was one of the first, she was a, she had a special name. You see, my memory is, she used to do all the specimens.
Yes.
Get them ready.
Analyst?
No, that's not it. Just poison them and put them out and then label them. And it was quite nice work, you see. And she was, that was in, I can't, well, I was 1921, but I think she was about 1910 or something.
Is that right?
Yes, she went right.
Well, I really am very pleased to be able to have a chance to talk to somebody who was there, because that part of my work is missing. I have had a chance to talk to anybody, so I have a couple of questions that I've been very curious about. The library was in the, not in the shacks, but in the...
A part of the hospital building. It's an old hospital building. I don't think it's there now. I think it's all pulled up. It's bound to be, because it was old in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not a shack. It was, you know, stone building.
And I presume the library was there partly because it was fireproof.
That's right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something that I don't think anyone knows, but it mustn't go on here.
All right.
Could you turn it on?
Sure.
It's in there, and you see he had the sense. He didn't start putting a lot of water on it or anything. He just, I think he very carefully, well, I don't think there was hardly anything to put out. It had blackened everything, but you see, it was hot, still hot. And nobody knew. I never told anybody. I think I might have told one person, or not for years. I never mentioned it. Because he asked me not to, you know, and there was something. I might have started something, and that would have been dreadful. So I kept this. But you see, he's dead now, and no one can be harmed by the knowledge.
No, yeah. But it's an interesting thing because they had all those. They had their collection then from Europe. There was quite a bit of money.
Yes, that's
particularly
right. Because the initial collection, you see, must have cost an awful lot of money. I don't know who did that. I don't know who.
A man called Gerald from Minnesota went over to Europe.
It wasn't Mr. Williamson. Now, you see, when I first thought of it, I wasn't sure, but then I remember that someone telling me about this man going
stopped in the war and held as a spy. It was a funny story because he had the plans for the building and they thought that they were other kind of plans.
that's interesting. Well, you're going to make that
in your magazines.
Well, work that into your...
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure that it will do for special collections, but it's a very...
Are you going to make any copies or have any copies made of it?
Yes, I shall be.
It'll be in the library, of course, won't it?
Well, yes, I expect so. But my first essay is just for my course. It will, but I do want to go on and do a proper thing later because I think it's important to remember things.
Yes,
well, there are people who still remember.
And if I were you,
if
you would write to Mrs. Lanning, I would.
Oh, I shall go over this summer, I think, and. No, I won't be able to till August, but I would like to get
you know where she lives, do you?
I think I should talk to her.
Smith.
I would, being the archivist, it's going to be open.
And you, I'll tell you something, she's so lively.
Yes.
You know, and she's got an excellent memory. I think she could give you quite a lot of information.
Oh, I'm sure, but this story, of course, I can't use. It's very fascinating to me because I feel very that the physical care of the books, of course, is such an important thing. And
even today, it might detract from Mr. Whittington's, memory.
I would not use it because it is not there.
I don't suppose your husband
knows
anything about it. Well, they certainly nobody got it from me because I never opened my mouth about it. He impressed upon me so much. No one must know.
No, well, he was quite right.
If
he that would have been a terrible thing to have been found out.
And you see, he kept his room locked.
Mm-hmm.
You see, for a while, until he would get the. Now, how the desk ever got out, or whether there was—I can't remember—whether there was a new top made for it. I think that's what happened. He had a new top made for it.
And. What was the atmosphere like down there? Was it stuffy and crowded?
Yeah, a bit on the stuffy side, I think. You know, especially in the stacks, because, you see, there was hardly any room, and the books were very crowded.
Be hard on the books, then?
Yes, it was hard on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, they were crowded.
How many students were there?
In those days?
Don't really need statistics, it's just a curious, enough to fill the place
up. You could get the right statistics from the bursar's office.
Oh yes, they're easily come by. With more, I'm thinking of the atmosphere, whether people had room to sit, or I gather it was a very
The students were nice. They were nice.
Mm-hmm. And then they had had someone important, you know, giving a lecture, and we were often, you know, asked or told that we could go.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going once in the old place. This has nothing. Don't think this really nonsense. But you know that the students were always up to some devilment, you know, just like students are today.
Yes. But I don't think they did it quite so. What shall I say? They were rather gentler in their fun. You were all this is very important man that they were going to listen to what he had to say, and those students were coming in, you know. And here we were sitting, you see, on these long forms, all in a row. And when Dr. Klimt came in and the man, everybody stood up, you see. Well, while we stood up, some student on the end of our form, you see, there was a space behind ours, we were the last one, and he pushed the whole form back, you see. See, when you stand up like this, you see, in this manner, the thing you do is you don't look round, you see, you just go and try and sit down on the seat. I thought I should never, the noise that I think it was really, I think it was Dr. Flynn wondering what had happened. But you see, here were all the whole lot of, it was ridiculous really, and very funny, you see, not looking round to see where the seat was, but just trying to find it, you see. But you know, it was right up against that, and my dear, we just escaped from falling. And there would have been a whole row of us lying, you know, on the floor.
Rascals all. He's not in the English department. He's called the university professor of English language and literature.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a sort of a chair.
Yes, I see.
From
he's the head of a division of some kind.
No, he's not. He's free. He's himself.
Oh, is he?
Teach
yes.
In any area he wants.
Oh, does he?
And that's
oh,
very
yes.
Nice.
And he likes that.
He loves it.
Yes.
It's marvelous.
Isn't it nice?
It's marvelous.
For anyone to be doing something that they really like.
It's the nicest.
Are you going
thing
to teach when you?
No, I'm going to be working in the special collections.
In the library.
That's right.
Oh, yes, you told me.
And
of course
I'll be the university archivist. That's my job.
That sounds a very interesting
yes.
and important job.
It is interesting
yes.
because this sort of thing we're talking about right now. Is
oh,
right.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I can't give you
well,
some
you've given
really.
Me a great deal.
But I somewhere inside me, somewhere, there's quite a lot of things that I would like to tell you, but I cannot remember them. You know, it's been so. What can I say? It's so far away and long ago. You see.
How did you get out to the Fairview place? Was there a streetcar service or a bus service, or how did people go?
Yes, streetcar.
The streetcar.
Oh yes, and it used to go was just by. It used to go along Broadway. You know
mm-hmm.
Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And you get out there and then walk the rest of the way. It wasn't very far either.
Yes.
I was trying to think what street it was on.
So it must have seemed a very long way out to Point Grey.
Oh my gosh, yes it was. And you know, when we first went out there, I think the library was one of the first people to go out there. September 1925 we went out there.
And that was the opening Monday,
the library. Yes. Well, the opening would be a little later on, you know, but the library had to go out and get all the books in order, you know. That was a game.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several of us left in the old place, packing the books up, you see, and getting them ready to be shifted out.
That must have been quite a job. How did you decide where things were going to go when you got there?
I don't know, I didn't, somebody did.
You were packing them up at
yeah,
the other end.
Yeah, I was at the other end of it.
Uh-huh. And, well, were the shelves full when you were through packing?
No. You know, what was it, Rod Rillington said, when he got out there, in my day it was like empty space, you know, it seemed so vast and so big, and so few books, you see,
mm-hmm.
in those days,
mm-hmm.
so few books for a huge place like that.
And
it was like rattling about like a P&R drum or something like that.
but how different today.
And so you must have had lots of space to work in.
Yes,
it must have been very comfortable.
Yes, it was.
To have that much, because it's a very comfortable building.
Lovely big office, and a window overlooking, because they hadn't even done the gardens then, you know.
Where was Mr. Riddington's office? On the main floor?
Mm.
On just as you came
in? You know the old building, don't you?
Yes.
As you go in, as you're going up the steps. The very old building.
Yes.
That's the first piece of it. Well, his office was on that side in the front. You see.
Oh, was it?
And the faculty room wasn't the faculty room then, but it turned into the faculty sitting room sort of place. Was on this side in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And our office was behind Mr. Riddington's, you see, and we looked out on the side. You see, where our window was at the side. His was on the front here, and ours was at the side.
Was this before you climbed the stairs? I mean, you came
yes.
right on the
yes.
ground floor.
Yes, right on the ground floor.
Where the circulation
yes.
office is now, I expect.
I don't know what, I haven't any
idea. Perhaps the librarian's office is
yes.
there.
Yes, the librarian's office, I think, is there.
Yes.
As you go in, there's a door here, the stairs up, you see.
I see.
Before you go to the stairs, there was the librarian's office, and then there was our door to our office, you see.
Well, when you were... You left in what, at what date?
I left 55.
Oh, well then you can perhaps tell me, when the Howie Reed room, when the Howie Reed room was made, was that, had that been where your office was? In 1949, the Howie Reed collection was in the...
Let me see now, I was trying to think where the Howie Reed collection was.
It's where the library.
Oh, they put it in a very special place, I think,
yes,
because they didn't want the students to get at it.
Yes.
Now I can't quite remember where that was.
Yes.
It was the Harry Reed, and the Harry Reed. Well, that was the two. You see, there
yes.
was the what was his name? Somebody Reed, and the other man was Harry. He was
Reed. Judge
yes,
Howie and Robbie Reed.
That's right, Robbie Reed. Robbie
yes.
Reed, the two men. And they always put the two collections together.
Yes.
Possibly they still call it the Howie Reed collection,
yes,
do
they?
Yes,
they do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think. They had a special place for, because they wouldn't let the students take the books out of their office.
Oh, I see.
And in some cases, I think they had to sit, I think they were somewhere where Mrs. Smith used to be. It's funny, I just can't remember.
I wondered if the room where your office was the room that the Harry Reed.
I think
it was
somewhere around there. I believe so. Yes.
I have.
But you see, they've moved and shifted everything. So
yes, they have.
Goodness knows what they what.
I have two or three floor plans, but they don't all. They're not. Sometimes it's difficult to tell. They don't all show me exactly where things were at
mm-hmm.
certain dates. I have. The floor plans from different dates, way
mm-hmm.
back, and then 49 and 56. They're all different because, of course, the universe kept changing.
Kept, oh, yes, they kept But we kept, more or less. I do remember. I used to work in the office next to Mr. Riddington. And then, years after, I worked in the next place, actually, where Mr. Hoyes used to work. Miss Jeppard used to be in the next compartment, next
yes.
office. And then Mr. Hoyes over there, well, he wasn't there then, you see, and I used to work there with
mm-hmm.
the people that did that. We did the ordering.
Mr. Hoyes and Miss Jeffert were quite close to each other.
Yes, they were. Just a sort of bookcase in between, that's all.
Yes.
Did you know Miss Jeffert?
I did, yes.
Did you really?
I met her when I first came to BC, which is nearly 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I think it is 20 years ago, because my daughter, yes.
As a student?
Yes.
No,
not as a student.
You were in school.
No, I was married and came to
20 years?
Yes, indeed.
Why, my dear, you look such a youngster.
Well, I'm afraid the light must be bad.
No, not with the light at all. It's a, no, you're not so young. I thought you'd probably, you know, that I was thinking, but you must be years younger than your husband.
Yes, I am, but
Because, not that he's, of course, he's much younger than I am. I mean, he's of a different generation altogether. I'm quite old. I met Anne Smith and Mrs. Lanning, Mabel Lanning. Did you know Mabel Lanning?
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
And Walter and what's his name? Rowley Lanning. I met them today, you know, and had coffee with them.
Oh, is that one?
And that was when Miss Smith asked me about you, but if I had anything to impart, I'd love to see her. And she said, oh, well, do what you can. Will you promise me you'll do what you can? Well, I said, I will, but it won't be anything at all, because my memory is simply shot to pieces over it.
Well, I think that it's particularly helpful to me to talk to somebody who's in Fairview, because it's hard to do a great deal.
You know, a lot of the places were shacks.
Yes.
But this place, the library, was a, and I think the auditorium was attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Or very near. You see, this is where they used to have the convocation.
Oh.
You see, in days gone by.
Must have been quite a small institution.
Very small, at its beginning.
Mm-hmm. And then by the time you got there, I expect things were getting rather crowded and uncomfortable.
Yes, there were. The stacks, the mm-hmm. shelves, when you had new books, you wondered where Dickens they were going to put them, because they were all much too tightly on the shelves,
mm-hmm.
you see.
And
And then, of course, this was the buildings were being, they'd been started. This was in 23. You see, we went out there in 25.
Did you, Mr. Riddington, have anything to do with the planning, or was it taken out of his hands?
I think he might have had something to do with the library planning.
Ah,
yes. He did, because I remember he had, you know, nothing small about Mr. Riddington. He not only had the centre, but he had units. You see, units out here. I think he'd got 14 units of some. You see, it was the centerpiece.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Well, they've done, they've got two built. I don't know if they've built any more.
No, they've
got two lengths.
That's right.
You see, the middle portion was the only portion when I was there, just the middle,
mm-hmm.
you see. And as I say, the window, Mr. Riddington's office, and the faculty place, and that was the library.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then of course it went back, because we had the stacks, quite a lot of stacks, and room, plenty of room, you see, for the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then they built two wings on one, this wing and one.
Mm-hmm. And now the next expansion won't be attached to that main building.
No, they've got different ideas, you see, over the years.
Under the main boulevard, just...
Oh, they're going to put Dr. Sedgwick's books
that's
under
right.
there,
aren't they? The Sedgwick Library will be there for the undergraduates. Mm. I think it's a very imaginative plan.
It's
quite good. Tell me, one thing that I was talking to Ms. Smith about, I'd like to hear what you feel, it was about Dr. Klink, who, of course, indirectly played a large hand in the library being present.
Yes, she did.
And what kind of relationship did you feel existed in between Dr. Klink and the library?
He was a very quiet man.
Yes.
He hadn't, I would call him almost a shy man. And he was very careful, because they had a small budget, but he was very careful not to go over it. And of course, Mr. Riddington didn't agree with that at all, I might tell you. Mr. Riddington said, we'll never get any more unless he goes over the budget, you know. Well, there might have been some truth in it, you see. But of course, don't forget, BC was a small province. You see, the whole of the province has expanded, and it's much more wealthy than it was in those days. You know, that's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they felt it was something to have a university at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a president,
He was very, very aloof, perhaps, from the students. I don't think he mixed with them. I don't think he was as friendly with them as the next man that came, Dr. Mackenzie. He seemed to be much more, you know, with the students than Dr. Clink. Now that's my feeling about him. But I knew the girl he married, you know.
Oh yes, a lovely person.
She was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had rather the impression that perhaps Mr. Riddington's expanse of programs were kept in check by the
You're right. Mr. Riddington had grandiose ideas.
Yes.
Dr. Clink was for keeping within the budget, it was near the limit. I could see that Mr. Riddington might have been right up to a point, you know, as to not spending too much over, but to show that these people that they really needed more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got it eventually, you know, but this is Mr. Riddington's idea. You know, let's go it. Of course, you know, it wasn't coming out of his pocket, don't forget.
Well, perhaps.
And then, of course, he's only just died. Dr. Clink has just recently died.
Is that right? Mm. I didn't realize.
He was
that.
90-something, 96, I think.
Oh, Dr. Clink, yes, of
yes.
course. Yes, just this year.
Mr. Riddington died soon after he retired, you know.
Yes. Mrs. Riddington is.
She's alive.
Yeah,
she's a very nice
yes.
woman. And they had one son by the second marriage, one son by his first marriage, one son by the second marriage.
Oh.
Children
altogether. Yes, the pattern that you get is that he would have been very happy to have had a good deal more support for his plans.
Mr. Riddington?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think really, you know, he had to be kept in check a bit because he would have gone overboard very likely.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he, you know, there was something about him that was right too. I don't know.
He might have saved money in the end.
Yes,
they probably had to pay.
Well, I know he certainly went ahead and wrote letters. Right? He certainly wrote letters, begging letters, you know. And people used to say, you know, fancy day. Well, I said, I think he's right. This is a sort of, we're just at the beginning, and he certainly got a lot of recognition.
Yes.
From the people that he wrote to, and I'm sure, I feel certain that some of these things, some of these gifts that we had, were really through his, you know, making himself known, and not being the least bit proud, you know, about asking,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that we were.
Well, I originally had the impression when I went through the papers that perhaps it was because of the librarian that some of the tremendous acquisitions hadn't come in, but I now feel after I've talked to people, and I think this is a very good thing, that it was not the library, and that it was perhaps the administration that was holding back a bit.
Yes,
the librarian was moving forward
yes.
as fast as he could.
I think, of course, he had to keep within the every department had an
yes.
appropriation. You see.
I think he did a fantastic job
yes.
after
and he we were supposed to keep within the limit.
Yes.
You know. Sometimes, of course, the department didn't spend all their money. At other times, they overspent, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've built up quite a different impression since I've talked to people than my original one.
Mm-hmm.
I've really changed my mind, and this is one thing. It's good to talk
Tell
to
me,
people.
When you're in reading over the old minutes, did he sound a bit bombastic?
Well, he had a very high style.
Yes, that's
Advertising.
Right.
You've
yes.
got the
feeling. That expresses it.
Loved the
that's
language.
Riddington. That's Riddington, you see. You've
yes.
got it out of you know, just what he wrote.
His sentences come rolling out.
Yes, they're rather flowery.
It is fascinating because, you see, my first reading was actually not of the minutes, but of Senate committee reports, and of a couple of histories of the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they give the complete picture. And reading the minutes and talking to people who were there, I have a different picture. I think I see perhaps a little different.
You can really take it from me that Mr. Whittington, whatever he did, he acted for the library because he loved his job.
Yes.
Well,
that comes through
yes.
very clearly in his letters
mm-hmm.
and his papers. And as you pointed out, I am dead sure that this library would not have had that tremendous Carnegie grant if it hadn't been for him, because he
yes.
kept all his old American contacts, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes, he did.
That he made
yes.
early on. Why
and he was always very, if he had anything, he was always very gracious in thanking them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, I don't think he took it for granted, you know,
mm-hmm.
but he was very, very grateful.
What were the staff relations like? Everybody happy with everybody else?
Yes. We found, both Mrs. Lanning and I, found Mr. Billington rather hard to deal with sometimes. Now, sometimes we'd go for weeks and we were on very good terms, you know, then something would happen, you know, and we wouldn't be on very good terms. And he would squash me, but he served me right. You know, I looking back, I think he was right, you see. I'll take it all, because I deserved it, I've no doubt. But, you know, sometimes we used to get a bit annoyed with him. He could never keep time. He would stroll, this is years ago, when he would stroll in on Saturday mornings, you know, just about half past, we used to work until 1 o'clock on Saturdays. That's it. And he would stroll in about 11:30 and say, to me or to Miss McGregor, she was then, to come and take some letters. You know, you think he's mad because, you know, the time, because he used to give out long letters. And by the time he'd finished dictating them and we got it down, you know, it was almost time to go.
Mm.
Oh, that was Whittington. But on the whole, he was all right. And Miss Smith and Miss Jeffer, did you know Miss Jeffer?
Oh, yes.
You know, she's quite ill.
Yes.
You know, she was a brilliant woman.
Yes.
So is Miss Smith.
Oh, very.
Yes.
I'm just deeply impressed with
her. Yes. Yes, she really is. Whatever she does, you know, she's a great traveller. Great traveller. I must take my hat off to her. She was there today. And she looked at me, she said, "You look just the same as ever." I said, "Thanks for the compliment." And I said, "I want to tell you, you look 10 years younger." And she looked awfully well. She really did. You know, when she first left the university, she used to work herself to death. She spared herself nothing. And she used to get sick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she over-expected from her staff, I think. She worked her staff rather hard. But she worked herself hard too. She didn't save herself. But she used to get ill and she used to look sort of tired and worried. Now, today there's nothing of that in her face at all. She looked, I really mean it, she looked 10 years younger. I've never seen such a difference in anybody.
The retirement really suits it.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Yes.
Well, of course, she's a few years now that she's there. And she goes abroad, you know. She recently went on a lovely trip to Africa. Did you know?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my dear. My goodness, that's where she went, right up into these parks, you know, with game preserves.
Yes, marvellous.
Yes,
she's been
practically everywhere. I guess she'll be off again soon.
Oh, she's very wise. She's very wise indeed. Well, I think I've taken up a tremendous amount of your time.
Indeed, I feel that I've just been chatting about nothing
well,
at all.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted.
I'd be so glad if I could give you some really startling and interesting information. Would you like to come and have a cup of coffee with me?
Well,
just across the road.
Well, I'd
like
to. If you let me take it. Would you?
No, I won't. Well, I must. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, no.
I would just be delighted to. I'll put away my...